Welcome to the February. It is February. Yeah, February. So lost. Littlest Hobo Media Spew.
Media Spew. Sorry, I just have a cookie in my mouth.
My name is Marita Antunes, co-host. Coming to you from North Vancouver. Joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen from A Dead Dot Horse.
Dale McGladry from Over 40 in Vancouver.
I'm eating cookies. Sorry.
I know.
I just finished eating cookies. Yeah.
Dale was smart. He didn't take the last cookie and then right before we started recording.
I'm the one that pressed record as I took a bite into a cookie. Nice. Really, this is good planning on my part.
Excellent. Apparently. People can hear you chew. That's okay. They'll judge you accordingly.
Your mic has a crumb cover on it.
Mine does not.
Careful.
Yeah, don't spit.
But you've got a fancy-ass mic, man.
I do have a fancy-ass mic. Longy McQuaid was having a crazy Boxing Day sale, and it happened to be... Oh, God, there's a camera.
Dale will take a picture for prosperity.
I have resting hostility face.
That's perfect.
I just get angry.
Irrationally angry. Look at me and glare.
What? Why are you doing this to me? All right.
Row3.com for the picture, people.
God damn it. Longy McQuaid had a Boxing Day sale, and this mic was on, and I traded in one of my spare bass amps and a bunch of other stuff, and so I got like a fancy schmancy multi-$100 microphone for like $50.
It's very spiffy.
I'm going to chain it to my arm, just like in Blues Brothers.
At least we'll know what's in the case, unlike Ronin, where we never find out what's in the fucking suitcase. The briefcase, actually. It's a briefcase.
And, well, you shouldn't.
I want to know, damn it.
Too bad. Suffer.
Wow, I'd forgotten about that.
It's like the mystery of that movie is what's in the fucking briefcase, and they never tell you. It's awesome.
Just a MacGuffin.
Probably. It totally works. Yep. I'm still thinking about it years later.
Exactly.
We're going to talk about some shit that we've been watching. Some stuff that we've been watching lately. Hopefully it's not shit if we've been seeing it.
Some of it feels like shit. I maybe won't mention. Maybe I will.
Oh, yeah, you do. You want to steer people away from this shit. So where do we want to start? Let's start with the movies. Do you guys have movies you've seen lately?
I have seen no movies.
I have been doing some catch-up.
Oh, what have you seen?
I'm just going to rattle them all off because I don't think we need to talk about. So I caught up on the Peanuts movie.
Which I still haven't seen.
Hitman Agent 47 that I
terrible.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh,
really?
Oh, I fucking hated it.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of that franchise. And I really liked the actors. And I really didn't like the movie.
Oh, I was fine. It was what it was. Anyway, Joy, which was a little bit disappointing, actually.
Yeah, it sucked. Let's just be honest. That movie is terrible.
Okay. Lobster, which was like totally strange in kind of a good way, but it's...
Yep.
It's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. That would probably do a whole show.
It has a very European sensibility.
That was the one, yes.
European art house sensibility.
So that should tell you everything about whether or not
you're going to enjoy it or not.
The premise was really fun, though. Yeah. It's like when you become single, you get sent to this resort, and if you don't find somebody to pair up with, you're turned into an animal.
Of your choice,
of course. Your choice.
And well, that...
The main character...
Hell yeah.
The main character wants to become a lobster if he doesn't find... But anyway, as with all good movies, shit happens.
Yeah.
And
Colleen is looking perplexed.
Now, does the animal have to be an actual animal, or could it be more like an amalgamation?
No, it has to be an animal.
It has to be an actual animal.
It sounds like it actually has to be an animal. They don't really specify... That's really besides the point, but you get turned into an animal.
Dromedary camel. No, wait, back turn camel. What did I say? Have great shame.
And
now.
It had like one of my crushes, Rachel Weisz, in it. So that was all good too.
Yeah.
I finally saw Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Thumbs up.
I really liked it.
Spectre was kind of a disappointment. Trumbo was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Trumbo was a lot of fun.
And I rewatched Jupiter Ascending and Strange Days.
Strange Days. Good call.
Because it was the millennium, and we did a New Year's show at the radio station for that other show I was on.
Very cool.
And so, yeah, it came up, and it was like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that. And it was done in 1975 for the year 2000, and it was just kind of a hoot watching what they thought 2000 would kind of be like.
Yeah, I really like that movie. I haven't seen that in a long time. That's a good one. And you said one more. There was one more in there. Oh, Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
Plays well. Plays very well.
I think the problem with it is it had a little bit of a different kind of plot than we're used to. It was like a fairy tale.
Classic
fairy tale plot where you go through each of the challenges independently, and we're kind of used to having all of the, anyway. But yeah,
I really liked it. It was one of my favorite movies of last year.
To me, it's a solid movie. I mean, it's not up there with, like, say, Guardians of the Galaxy, but it was a solid movie. I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Enough to rewatch it.
I liked it a lot. I also did a big rewatch, but off the top of my head, like a big catch up, but off the top of my head, there's nothing that really stands out that you haven't already mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the only movie that I've seen of late that I highly recommend, which is actually available on VOD, is Two Rabbits, which is a Brazilian crime thriller, but it's really unique and it has a really interesting energy. It just looks really cool. It's just a lot of fun, and it's kind of a different approach to the crime thriller. So highly recommend it. It's available on like DVD and iTunes and VOD, so easy to find. It's from 2012, but it's just now getting a North American release, and it is a whole lot of fun. So highly, highly recommend it. That's the only thing I can really think of that I wanted to mention. Oh, and Synchronicity is now available. You should fucking see that movie.
Okay.
Both of you.
The only film that I know I've...
The plotline didn't capture me, but I'll take a look.
You need to see it.
Okay.
The only actual movie I remember seeing in the last 4 weeks kind of thing is I rewatched Zoolander at some point.
Nice.
Oh, and of course, New Year's. I watched...
Godzilla?
9 Godzilla films in a row.
I thought maybe, I wasn't sure if this year was a Godzilla year or a Planet of the Apes year.
Yeah, you know what? I did mix it up the one time, and it just kind of felt wrong to watch Planet of the Apes on New Year's. So I may declare another holiday. Maybe Easter is Planet of the Apes Day.
It's too bad you're so damn unsocial, because I would get in on some of that Godzilla action. Mm-hmm. I would host some Godzilla action here.
Interesting.
For 2016.
Because usually I just stay in my pajamas and curl up in my bed and watch my laptop.
Yeah, but not all 9 of them, but...
Well, then what's the point?
Well, okay.
It's the marathon. It's the epic level. Like,
we're already running into
problems.
Logistics problems.
This is why I don't have my own film festival, you know, because there would be no...
3 or 4 of them I can, you know...
Flexibility on it. Sorry, we only watch Godzilla this day. Only Godzilla. If you don't like it, you can leave. There's no refund.
Okay, that's funny. Okay.
Oh, one other thing. The Big Short.
Yes.
I really liked how gutsy they were about the storytelling, because really they're for telling that kind of story of the housing crisis, to focus on the facts so much, I thought was really brave. And I love some of the breaking of the fourth wall.
Which really works.
They did, which totally worked. And so here's a question for our listeners. If a female actor breaks the fourth wall to a female audience, does that pass the Bechdel test? No, it's the Bechdel something test.
Well, no, because we're not talking back. It's not a two-way conversation.
It's not a two-way conversation. Okay.
That would be my gut feeling, but I don't know.
See, I made you think.
You did make me think. I'm like, what?
Because otherwise that movie didn't do such a good job.
Stop no, trying it to didn't. Expand our minds,
but
Dale.
Then there aren't that many female characters in that movie. So.
The main characters, yeah. But then, I mean,
Other than the stripper who owns like 5 houses and 4 apartments.
This is actually one of the other... Well, this is a complete digression, but that's our thing, isn't it? But... The rewriting of history that removes either accidentally or deliberately female characters. Like, there's a lot of science stories that underplay the contribution of female team members.
Yeah, very true.
And word to that.
Michael Lewis, I don't know. He did the original book anyway. I don't know how where he is on that.
Well, I kind of get the feeling, well, you know, one other movie that I did watch that I had forgotten to mention and I really should is Michael Moore's new movie, Where to Invade Next.
Oh, yeah.
Is really, really eye-opening. And it's funny you mentioned that, because one of the things that sort of comes up is he talks to some women in Iceland and they're talking about equality for women, obviously. And I kind of was, when you were mentioning that, I'm thinking, no, because if women had been involved, the housing crisis never would have happened, is essentially what it boils down to.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
I do. If women were in control, I don't think it ever would have happened. And I fully believe that.
I think you underestimate the power of greed.
I might.
There is enough go-getting women that it's all or nothing kind of thing, that this Bernie Madoff would have been Bernice Madoff.
there's enough,
you know what? Maybe as an average, I don't know, who knows, but there's enough evil people of both genders to basically screw over everyone.
Yeah, I think the fundamental problem with the financial system is just the way it's set up to allow people of a particular lack of morality to exploit people. And I think that's not gender specific.
Yeah.
I think it kind of is.
Because it filters. It filters for those kinds of people, regardless of.
True. True. I still don't think it would have happened. I honestly believe it wouldn't have happened. But I mean, you were talking about changing the entire structure of the economic system, and you can't. But I honestly believe that if there was, if it was completely different and women were running the show, I don't think it ever would have happened. I don't think it ever would get to that level. And not to say that women aren't just as ruthless and just as power hungry, but I don't think it ever would have gotten that bad.
See, if I was in power, I would have children hunting children, so I might be the wrong demographic to talk to about morality. So,
okay, I do that look got for really the deep, really I do yeah. look for the worst
in everything.
I maybe won't make you guys think anymore. I don't know.
No, but that the movie, like, it does that to you, right? So yeah, no, totally. And yeah, I highly recommend.
Please
Where to
tell
invade
me
next.
He says that the place they should invade next is Canada, because I loved Canadian Bacon and I thought it was his best film he's ever done.
No,
damn,
Canada is not. He travels through Europe. He goes to Iceland. He goes to, I want to say, Tunisia.
I don't
know. It's really, really eye-opening.
That actually twigged me. I was just talking last night with a friend of mine, and she recommended, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's a European co-production where America has gone isolationist. The environment's all cockeyed, so Norway decides to not sell any more oil, and the Europeans collude with the Russians to invade Norway because of the resources, and that's where the story
North
starts.
Sea oil.
Wow.
Yeah, and it sounds, she said it's really good, so I wish I could remember the name of it. But
it's documentary?
No.
Oh, it's a movie.
It's a TV series.
TV series?
It's a co-production, yeah. Mm. I will have to text her and get the... and get the name.
Okay, yeah. I'm writing down just a quick note so that I don't forget. Well, so that's a good segue into television talk. I know we've all watched lots of TV, so Colleen, get us started, man.
Again, I can't even remember what I've watched. I've been binge-watching off Netflix because I canceled my account, so I was trying to get the most out of it. And I remember on DVD, I've been watching Wonderfalls again, too, because I love that show. I was very sad when it was canceled. But X-Files, I got about 5.5 seasons in before the time expired and my credit card would be refilled. So, yeah, getting set for this evening.
Yeah.
The new, was it, 8-part miniseries event?
I think
event?
It's 8-part, yeah. 6 or 8-part, I can't remember.
Oh, I hope somehow they manage to get the lone gunman back in there somehow, even as ghosts or memories or something, because I need to see Frohickey at work again. And that's basically it for TV. I haven't actually watched anything on television in months.
No, you were watching, you need to explain about this Chinese soap opera you were watching.
Oh yeah, that was on Netflix too. Yeah, I fell down a rabbit hole of Chinese period piece soap operas. My goodness gracious, so much cattiness, so much, what was it? One was about the, I can't remember the names, they all kind of blended in. One was about the court intrigue of the basically the harem kind of thing, women, like the wives and concubines of the emperor. and they're all trying to get position and all backstabbing each other and having a good old time. Wow.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Caddy, caddy, caddy.
Sounds like a candidate for the CW.
It totally does. Does it not?
Well, you could figure out a way of reworking it, I'm sure. It really was like that. Gossip Girl, but with like people dying.
Oh my God, I need to find this. I'm so lucky. Gossip Girl with people
dying. And then the other was like Snow on Cedars or something like that. It was about an emperor who fell in love with a girl, and then she was sort of screwed over by, again, the queen and the empress and all that. And so they killed her off, but she wasn't really dead, but she forgot who she was when they dug her out of the ground. And then she was trained to be a shaman. And then she came back to the palace and everyone goes, God, she looks familiar. You know, that old chestnut.
So are there a lot of these on Netflix Canada?
There's actually a surprisingly large amount.
I'm actually not too surprised.
Chinese period.
Considering our demographic.
Although I'm not sure if the last one I saw was actually Chinese or Korean. I'm not sure.
Wow. Sounds like fun.
When they all wear those costumes, they all look alike. I'm sorry. It's true.
Dale, you want to go back on that Norway thing? Because it looks like you found it.
It's called Occupied.
I am still looking this up.
Yeah, that does sound good.
That does sound really interesting.
But that's it for me for TV, I'd say.
Mr. Dale, what have you been watching?
Oh, Lord. I'm looking at this going, I think I spend too much time watching TV.
I spent so much time watching TV, I actually did top TV shows list this year with nice. Andrew.
I'm watching like 18 different programs. Well, some of them have come and gone. Like Fargo is kind of old news, but we didn't have a few last time.
Yes.
And I know you watch. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as the first one, but it definitely had its moments.
I think I liked it more than the first one. And that, okay, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it and you want to, just turn off for like 3 minutes. The spaceship bit was fucking genius. I show that episode to Dan. I'm like, you have to watch this because it kind of feels, you don't need to know anything else about the show because it feels totally out of context and it will be totally okay.
Yeah.
But that scene just happens.
That was so bizarre.
And it's just there.
Yeah.
It's been so long since we did a media spew kind of thing. I forgot there was a new show. Like I do watch Walking Dead and everyone talks about that. So let's not go into that. But they brought in a new show that aired right after it called Enter the Badlands, which is one of the most kick-ass freaking martial arts sort of.
I tried it.
I loved it.
I couldn't get into it.
Did you write it down?
Yes. Okay, yes, good. I did. It's on the notes. Enter the Badlands. Plus, I like the lead character. I forget his name right now. But yeah, he was badass. And
I haven't seen it yet.
And it's sort of like a bit of a post-apocalyptic-esque kind of world vision I love.
Which is why it came up in our discussions, because the guys recommended it, and I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I loved it.
Yeah. I tried watching Childhood. Well, I watched Childhood's End, and I was disappointed.
Okay. Fucking disappointing.
Yeah.
Fucking disappointing. Yeah. I was angry. I was really, really angry. It started off so well.
I know.
And then what the fuck happened with the last episode?
Thank God it was only three. That was what I was thinking.
They dropped the ball so hard.
They did. They truly did.
I'm like, really? This is how you end it?
Yeah.
Like, episode two was already not very good, but Jesus, the last one was really bad. Really bad.
I thought so, too. Oh, yeah.
I
mean, we could spend a lot of time talking, but yeah, I'll just say I agree. I completely agree.
Fucking terrible.
The other miniseries that I watched was The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, we're only halfway through that.
And I was disappointed in it.
It's
too
super convoluted.
It got so much good review too, so I don't know. I guess it's just a different aesthetic for what people want out of it. But when I got to the end, I was like, why did I watch this?
Well, I think they've renewed it for a second season.
They have.
Yeah,
they have.
What I found about it is like Dan often watches shows sort of like half watching because he's usually like doing something on his tablet. And this is one that we like need to concentrate on because we'll be why it's like, okay, rewind, because I just totally fucking missed that. Like, there's a lot of material in every episode.
Now you have me wondering. I mean, there is, but I felt like by the time I got to the end that a lot of it almost didn't matter.
And I'm kind of getting that feeling. Like, I think we're like 6 or 7 episodes in. And yeah, I'm getting the sense that there's a lot of stuff that they've put in there that's either like a lead for season 2 or was just kind of there. I don't want to say filler because it kind of felt like it was important, but I can't figure out why.
You know how like shows kind of make an implicit promise about what either they're going to be about or what they're going to reveal.
Yeah.
And I felt like this show just made me a bunch of promises and then totally, absolutely threw them out the window.
Yeah.
And I was just like really annoyed. Like I just spent a chunk of my life watching this and I am totally not satisfied.
Well, and I think that there's a reason why it's taking us, like we started this like 3 weeks ago and we still haven't finished.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of...
Because the first few episodes had me like really sucked in and then it kind of changed gears and I'm like, huh? What? Okay. Yeah. I'm 5 episodes in. I'll go along for the ride here. And it never really
went back to
the same level of excitement. Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but I was not a big fan of the original Philip K. Dick book to begin with. So
yeah.
Expounding on something I'm already not particularly a fan of.
Yeah.
Whoever did the production design.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It looks gorgeous.
Especially like that Nazi stuff mashed up with the American. Like, yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
No, I totally, totally agree. But yeah, I mean, we're still watching, but we haven't gotten to the end of that one yet.
So of note, I'm just going to read through the list really, really fast, but I'm not going to talk about all of this stuff. So
unless I stop you, unless sure. That's on my list.
Librarians, Flash, iZombie, we talked about Fargo, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Madam Secretary, Supergirl.
Which I'm watching and really like.
I really like Supergirl. It is what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Limitless.
Did that get any better? I watched one episode and it's like.
No, meh. It's kind of, it's another one. It kind of tickles me. I think it still hasn't, it keeps vacillating between wanting to be deadly serious and wanting to be kind of quirky funny. And I don't think the two can mix properly because if you're going to be deadly serious, then the quirky funny doesn't quite work because the stakes are too high.
No.
You know, and if you're going to be funny, you can't have like stakes where he's going to kill the dad, you know? So I don't know. I find that weird.
Unless maybe you're Deadpool.
Yeah.
Unless you're...
Apparently.
Even then. Luther, which is a British series with Idris Elba. Beowulf, which is new and a scene.
I have that on my if you have time list, which means I'll never get to it. Yeah. But I thought it looked really good.
I'm making dinner, I'll put it on.
Yeah.
I binge watched The End of Haven. it was an okay ending, but it wasn't completely super satisfying. The first half of the series is better.
Is the series now complete?
It's complete.
Okay.
Complete.
Okay, so now I can watch it now.
William Shatner was kind of fun.
okay.
I can see that.
Agent Carter's back. Legends of Tomorrow premiered.
Okay, is that any good? Because it looks fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love that cast, but it looks fucking terrible.
It's got some work to do to get good. I wouldn't call it good. It's watchable. I think it's like, it's kind of like watch and forget stuff if you have nothing else. At least that's what it feels like so far.
I don't have time for watch and forget.
There's a new one called Second Chance that just came out, which is kind of on the fence if there's nothing else to watch. The one that I'm actually really liking that everyone seems to be really liking is The Expanse, which is closer to a hard sci-fi. It's being compared to Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. The first episode for me was really hard to get into.
Okay,
I almost stopped.
Okay, because we did stop.
Yeah.
Dan just was not into it, and I'm like... I'm not really buying it, so I haven't been into it.
Somewhere in the second episode, it started to pick up for me. And then by the third episode, the story was rolling along.
Okay.
I was kind of into it, but I have talked to people. Well, a friend of mine last night said, yeah, I like it, but it took me 4 episodes.
Yeah.
To which I was like, you watched it for 4 episodes and you didn't like it?
Yeah.
Really? Like, wow.
Yeah, so this is one because Val was also saying that she's enjoying it. And the thing is, like, the teasers, like, when we watch the commercials on TV, it looks really interesting.
Yeah.
But it's like, I couldn't get past the first episode, well, so I think I'm going to wait till it's done and then binge.
Yeah, maybe. It's a huge universe, and that first episode, like that, they were trying to be so dramatic. Like, I just found everything was overemphasized.
Yeah,
like,
it was really overwrought, which is why we turned it off.
And like I say, I kind of barely... Well, actually, what happened was I had nothing else to watch. So it's like, oh, well, we'll check out another episode. And I'm kind of glad I did. So the last one, and Sci-Fi put this up on YouTube for free, The Magicians.
Which
And I really liked the first one.
Me too. I'm surprised because I was totally sold on the... I thought for sure it was what they said it was going to be, which is like Harry Potter with adults.
Yeah.
And it's not. Thank God.
There's definitely, I was thinking like, oh, this is kind of Harry Potter-esque.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, it goes dark pretty quick.
Yeah, which is what I really, really liked about it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have watched the full first episode, but I really liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit, so I'm excited for episode two. It's looking promising. I really did enjoy it. That one, Colleen wrote something down. Okay.
I have one more. I can't, like I say, it's been so long since we did the last few. I can't remember if I had talked about Jessica Jones.
Awesome. Did we? No, we haven't.
Jessica Jones on the list.
Yeah, we haven't talked Jessica Jones.
I freaking love Jessica Jones. It was Netflix show.
Weekending.
I love her.
Still liked it.
She is exactly how I want my superheroes kind of thing. Angry, possibly drunk kind of thing. Unapologetic and not wearing fucking retarded shoes to fight crime in.
Hey, for the record, Supergirl wears flats.
Great.
For the record.
Because I don't care how superior of you being, if you're running on pencil stilettos, they're going to snap.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm crushing on the sister more, but
oh yeah, no. I was. We were watching this. So I watched this over the holidays, and my mom was doing something with me when we watched the last like three episodes together. My mom got into this. She's like, "There's so many women on this show." I'm like, even my mom fucking gets it. Yeah. Seriously, people. if my mom can understand this, then come on.
A lot of the men are just simply there as eye candy and. Very little
totally works for
plot
me.
Device involving
but
them at all.
Seriously, when my mother picks up on it, you know TV is fucked.
Like I really.
I have a man crush on John Jones.
I don't want everything to basically all of a sudden we're now just solely reversing things and exploiting male, but it's nice for once to see it reversed.
And it's smart. It's done really, really well.
I barely got that vibe. Yeah. I mean, it's
not really at the center of it, but it is there.
I got it.
Clearly it's there because, like I say, if my mom noticed it, then, you know, something's up.
Yeah.
Okay, I've watched a lot of TV as well. Some of the stuff that you guys haven't mentioned that I did watch. Okay, so we talked about Jessica Jones. I watched the first episode of Lucifer.
I watched that. It was leaked months ago. I know. And I watched it then.
I finally got around to it. I don't know how I got around to it. Somebody recommended
it. Oh, it came back up on the internet somehow.
Probably because the premiere's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Jesus, I laughed so fucking hard.
I loved it. I really loved it.
I love this pilot. It was awesome.
I think you will. He's snarky.
Yeah,
he's got an attitude.
Writing something else down.
It's pretty sweet. I really, really enjoy that. The Shannara Chronicles.
Oh, I forgot about those. Oh, and I forgot about Shadow.
Oh, it's on my list.
Okay.
Shannara Chronicles on MTV. I think we're four episodes in now. Something. I'm enjoying it.
It's okay. I think the writing still needs a lot of work.
The leads are pretty good. Some of the supporting cast is not.
The way they set the story up, I mean, I don't know, we'll get into spoilers maybe, but just the way they set the story up to get the quest crew going just left me a little bit like, it's kind of soap opera-y.
Well, yeah. I mean, but isn't that the books?
It might be, but when you're doing the writing, you have to set it up to be a little bit more like plausible than just the way that they did it. It just I think I'm still watching it. I'm enjoying it for what it is. Some of the stuff is over dramatic. Like it has a lot of problems for me, but in the end, I am still
okay. Since you have problems, because I have issues with Shadowhunters.
Oh, I have tons of issues there too.
But you seem to enjoy that a lot more.
Okay.
I thought it was like okay. Episode 2 was way better. It's still not good.
I can't defend it as being good, but I don't know. For me, it caught an overall vibe.
I like the guy playing Jace.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, better Jace than the movie.
I don't know. They're two different Jaces. We'll say that. This show is very different than the movie, too.
The actors are really inexperienced, and it shows.
Yeah.
But in terms of capturing what I remember of the books, like they've done a really good job of catching kind of the sensibility of the thing, I thought. And it was good enough that I will go along for the ride a little longer, but it's not good.
Yeah. Okay. Because when you told me that you liked that better than Shannara, I'm like, really? Because I'm liking Shannara more than Shadowhunters.
I think probably if you were to rank it in terms of like production and stuff, Shannara's better.
Shannara's on another fucking level.
Yeah, I like Shadowhunters better than Shannara.
And I'm the other way. I actually like, I'm enjoying Shannara more than I am Shadowhunters. And Colleen is like, just like glazed over. I'm also watching War and Peace, the new BBC adaptation.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We're, I think, 3 or 4 episodes in. I think there's 6 in total. It's very, very pretty. Very, very, very pretty. Can I throw in another very in there?
Yes.
It's very nice looking.
Have you actually read the novel?
Fuck no.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. You did a bunch of literature in university, so.
Oh, that was never in one of our curriculum courses. I never took European literature.
3 attempts, 3 failures.
Really?
The most I could get was about 5 chapters, and I'm like, screw this.
I did try. Yeah, I did try it in high school because we were given a list. I was a total keener, obviously. And we had been given a list of like the 1,000 books to read before you die, and War and Peace was on the list. And at some point I did start and stop like 3 times.
1,000 books.
You need a freaking computer Excel spreadsheet to keep track of who the hell this is.
Or you just don't care. Glaze over that part. But there's a lot of it, so you glaze over half the book.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's problematic. Shannon is the only person I actually know that has actually read the book from cover to cover, including the appendices.
Wow. She read the appendices.
She read the entire fucking thing from cover to cover.
Jesus.
All 1,500 pages or whatever it is.
There should be like some sort of like special challenge badge that we can get her. Like a Cub Scout badge.
A War and Peace nerd badge.
Overachiever literature badge.
Nice.
That's right, because even I couldn't do that, man.
Props to you, Shannon. I started writing something down.
The low?
Yeah. Oh, the 100.
Oh, the 100s.
That's not letters. That's numbers.
Everybody is praising the 100.
Because it's fucking awesome.
It's terrible, and I love it.
Okay. Oh, it's not terrible. Come on.
It's the acting is just...
It's not
and
bad.
The premise is and
the premise
everything
is great.
Gone.
What are you talking about?
And yet somehow I love that show so much.
killing kids. There is
admittedly a first season was a lot of kids killing kids.
I was reading something.
Like
I think
young adults killing kids.
But I mean, I think it was either Wired magazine or EW or something leading up to the premiere. They're like. The amount of death on that show was reaching like Game of Thrones level of murder.
They full on freaking nuked an entire village.
Like, I mean, the mountain is fucking gone.
I know.
No, that show. So I think the deal with that show is that people have been secretly watching and not saying anything because it's on CW. And somewhere along the line, it became okay to say you like a show that's on the CW.
I watched it from day one because literally, wait a second. Children hunting children. I'm going to go out of my way.
You're the only reason I started it. And then I binge watched 2 seasons in 3 days.
Damn fucking right you did.
I watched the first 2 episodes or 3 episodes.
Oh my God. It gets so good.
Really?
Season 1 is a little shaky. There are some sort of hit and miss episodes. But by season 2, the thing is like full on.
You know what it is about the show I like? I don't root for anyone.
Because everybody is
everyone's
great.
An asshole.
Yes. It's no, it's true.
I know.
It's one of the reasons the show works so well, because yeah. all of the characters are fucking complicated as hell. And they've all done something to piss you off.
Screw you, adult. Screw you, young adult. Screw yeah. you, Reavers. Screw you.
Pretty much.
Earth-dwellers.
I still can't believe that show was on the CW. It is so good.
Yeah.
It's on another level of good.
Yep.
And the season premiere was fucking awesome.
Well,
I absolutely think it's horrible, and I love it to death.
She's only saying that because it's teenagers.
No, like a lot of the CW, I cannot watch it because it just grates on me, but somehow the subject matter works.
Because the show is awesome.
Hooray.
So, yeah.
Wow, this is going to be a long episode, eh?
Yeah.
Well, we have a bunch of months to.
Yeah. The only other thing we talked about, The Magicians, Billions, which is the new Showtime show.
Motherfucking Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, with Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis.
I heard about a new show with Damian. So it's Billions. Okay.
Yeah, it's called Billions. So Paul Giamatti is like a district attorney or something. And Damian Lewis plays Bobby Axelrod, who is like a hotshot investment banker.
Oh, okay. Bernie Madoff versus the law.
Kinda, yeah.
I like Damian Lewis.
The first episode has this amazing opening and closing bookend, which totally, I'm like, if they can keep this up, and I've seen two episodes so far, and it looks really promising.
I'm telling you, there's more creativity in TV right now than most movies.
Yeah.
This show is looking yeah. really, really great. And Damien, I mean, he's a very typical sort of, I don't know who the hero is on that show. They're both kind of pricks. But he plays like, he's the very like cookie cutter, hotshot billionaire. Like, he's got money, he came from nothing, and he is not above making people feel like shit for his money, and he plays it really, really, really well because he's fucking Damian Lewis. So there's that.
I love that guy in life.
He's great.
Yeah. I was sad that show didn't make it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Life?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
He played a cop.
He got in prison for...
Falsely imprisoned, yeah.
Yeah, for years, and then he got released, and instead of just taking the like umpteen $1 million settlement, he also demanded that he get... basically put on as a detective in LA. I think it was LA.
Yeah.
And
in prison he found Zen Buddhism or something.
Yeah. So all the cops fucking hate him. Hate him because...
And he's just totally like cool with it. He's one with the universe kind of thing. Oh, it's hilarious.
I'm going to have to check this out because I really like him. He's super talented.
And the fact he has like a multi-million-dollar mansion and he has like no furniture and he's fine with that.
Yeah.
And he has like a Bernie Madoff kind of thing on staff to handle his money because Bernie Madoff can't get a job anywhere and he's broke. So now he like lives in like the carport.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. Yeah. I'm going to check this out. The last one I want to mention is BBC's The Last Kingdom, which is actually now on Netflix Canada in its entirety.
That's the Viking one, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's about the forming of the UK. So yeah.
Oh, so like the Saxons sort of.
Yes.
Okay.
Saxons and the Danes and
Danes law.
Yeah, it's really interesting, really high production value, really great performances, and the entire thing is on Netflix. So highly recommended.
Cool.
That's my TV.
Cool.
That's all I got to offer. I know you've been watching, listening to a lot of podcasts.
Tons of podcasts. And I'll keep my list very low. Actually, right now I have 73 podcasts on my podcast player.
Wow.
My eyes.
Well, you're
just
reviewing
kind of like,
them now.
I am reviewing
so
them.
So link to your website for all this.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing reviews, although I feel horrible. You know what? I feel worse about reviewing podcasts than I ever did reviewing films because the vast majority of films are like studio, like they should get it right. Whereas a lot of these podcasts are people like us doing their best, making drama and comedy and things like that. So like when I'm like overly critical, I'm like...
Try harder.
I know.
Sorry. There's a lot of indie movies that are really shitty.
Yes.
All
yes.
I have to say is try harder.
I know. I just feel bad. Like... When BBC produces
are
something like shit.
Are you growing a conscience?
Well, I know what... It's hard to make art. Art is hard. like when BBC did the Archers podcast, and it's been going on for 8 billion years. It's like the Coronation Street of the audio waves.
Oh, okay.
I fucking hate that show. Like, holy shit, I do not like Coronation Street. I really don't like it. I could not make it through one episode. I'm like,
me either.
There's no point to this. It's the day-to-day sort of minutia of these people's lives, and I don't give a shit. So, moving on. I've been reviewing podcasts I've been listening to, but I'm going to just do a couple serials back.
Yes.
The World Famous Serial for season 2. Love it.
Yep. I'm pissed off that they're gone to bi-weekly. That is the right word, right? Every 2 weeks, yeah. Is bi-weekly.
Yep.
But you know what? Like they said, if they got a lot, the story's changed a lot, and if they're all going to cover it in 1 year.
Agreed.
I'd rather them do it right than sort of get my weekly sort of binge on. There's a sort of Pacific Northwest Stories, which I'm unsure if it's produced out of Washington State or Vancouver. There is a Vancouver connection, but...
The guy that... Because I looked it up when you sent me the link, or when you mentioned it, the Tanis or whatever.
Tanis.
So when I looked it up, the co-founder splits his time between Vancouver and Seattle.
Okay, that's why I couldn't quite figure out where they were.
So I still don't know where it's produced out of, but yeah, he is local.
Okay, so there's two podcasts. One is called Black Tapes. And one is called Tanis. Black Tapes is more paranormal, sort of the ongoing story of a guy named Stark who has his own prize to basically anyone who can prove ghosts and things like that exist. And it's really cool, and I like that a lot. But the one that I really love is Tanis. I've become full-on obsessed with this. It is slow build-up creep. It reminds me of H.P. Lovecraft, and they even reference Lovecraft periodically, and they've referenced Charles Manson and everything else in this story that they're building. It's slowly creeping me the fuck out, and I can't wait till the next episode. Like, I salivate when I see that Tanis is up. It's kind of crazy. But, both Tanis and Black Tapes... Brilliant. I love this. And apparently they're making a third podcast, and I can't wait till that one comes out. And I'll just mention another one, Hadron Gospel Hour. It's weird. And the only reason I really mention it is it has to have one of the best opening intros for any podcast, possibly TV show ever. I have literally rewound and listened to the whole entry a couple times. It goes from like sort of like a Incredible Hulk, Dr. David Banner was a mild manner, like this slow thing. And then it just blows up into this great big sort of almost digital electronic orchestral piece of just madness. I freaking love it. And the show's basically Robert Oppenheimer. Basically is messing around with the Hadron Collider and opens a rift to a different world, and it gets really, really strange. There's a guy half embedded in the wall, and he's like super friendly all the time. And at like one point, they're actually playing a D&D game, and you have to go into the other room because his hand is on the other side of the wall. So you put the dice in his hand, and then he'll...
That's surreal.
Really weird. And they periodically is like, well, let's look at tales from the Hadron Collider, and they'll just do random thing. Yeah, it's random. I love it. And it has seriously the best intro ever.
I'm going to have to look this
up. And I'm just going to say stop there because, like I say, I have 73 podcasts on my phone at this time.
I would be driving myself bananas if I had that many to listen to.
Yeah, well, me too.
Admittedly, there's about 25 that are instant listen to's kind of thing. And then the rest, some I haven't listened to yet, but I found. And most of them are story-based podcasts, fictional, serialized stuff, which I love. Old-time radio shows. I love them. Love this. Yeah,
the new generation of the old-time radio show.
But it's most of them I've had to hunt to find. And I've... Wait, what? And then start researching and find another podcast. It's 3 seasons in. Like, there's no real good way of finding stuff.
Yeah.
So, That's just me.
Now your podcast.
That's right.
I guess.
I don't have any.
Oh, okay.
I haven't added anything new to my roster. I'm happy with my podcast at the moment. Thanks.
I have picked up 99% Invisible, which is a really famous NPR one.
Nice.
Never heard of it.
Oh.
It's short.
Roman Mars. The one about flags, man. Great. Great podcast.
The idea is like things that you take for granted.
Oh,
although
okay.
sometimes it isn't, but they're usually always interesting and they're short.
When you say short, how short?
12 minutes.
I think. I can do that. And it's called what?
99% Invisible.
Okay.
Kind of a shout out to Canada Land. I've talked about Canada Land, yep. but they just released their entire budget for how they're using the money that they get through Patreon. And I thought that's like, holy crap. Like, and as some of the other people said, like, folks, there's your blueprint for how to get into like the journalistic new media thing. They just told you their budget and more power to them for that. And I continue to love kind of the shit disturber they're doing and the second podcast they have in the series, Canada Land Commons, two completely different voices that you don't hear in mainstream media. Mm. They've had some great guests on there, like stuff that's really made me think about my position on things. So, just like I say, shout out to them. And they have enough money now with the changing dollar, because Patreon's in American dollars.
Yeah.
They readjusted what their next goal was. So they're going to add arts and entertainment. They're actually looking for submissions for hosts.
I would listen to.
For an arts and entertainment show. The new one that I picked up is a craft-based. It's on storytelling. It's by a woman named Jessica Abel, I think you pronounce her name. She did a comic book with Ira Glass like 6 years ago. I forget exactly what it was called, on how they made a This American Life episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she is primarily a comic book writer, illustrator, done some other things, but so she's doing this thing on storytelling, and she's falling back on all this research that she did with a whole bunch of the, like the really big, documentary storytelling type people with NPR. So like, was it Robert Smith, mm-hmm. and Jessica Jang and
Robert Smith, Radiolab. I love that show.
Yeah. And he did Planet Money, mm-hmm. Jessica Fu, who's like Planet a real up and comer, just all kinds of, and, interviews with these people. And so the podcast series is taking you through start to finish doing a story, and it isn't necessarily nonfiction. It covers fiction as well. So the website, if you look in the side, it's kind of hard to find. If you look in the sidebar, you can see all the episode things, and they're really good.
Cool. We're total NPR fan, yeah. You'd say.
Yeah.
You know what? I am a longtime CKNW listener. I love talk radio. I love stories, but I also like talk radio. The quality of it has gone down the toilet last few years. It is all going to this weird format that I swear to God is a hybrid of like Fox News sort of info commercial a lot of the time, and I hate it. The only thing they're doing right is they're actually broadcasting Radio Lab and the Moth CKNW on the weekends. Other than that, there's almost nothing to listen to now. I almost have given up radio entirely. And you know what? I'm getting everything I possibly could want desire out of podcasts.
I did pick up a new podcast. It's called The Frame. It's very short. It's only like between 20 and 22 minutes long, because it runs for half an hour on the radio, and then they edit out the commercials for a podcast. It's Southern California Public Radio, and it's like it's an entertainment show. So the guy, John Horn, I think is his name, it's all like movie entertainment news, and they do it, it's daily. So they do a show every day for, you know, the radio.
Holy shit.
And then they put it out on podcast form. But because it's only 20 minutes, it's pretty easy to listen to. And I don't listen religiously. Like, if I don't like the, they always have the guests, they always have interviews, and they always have the guests listed. Yeah. If it just doesn't sound interesting, I just don't listen to it. But I find that it's really good. They've been doing a lot of interviews with like Oscar nominated people, and he has really good insight and really good interviewers on like current events that are happening on Hollywood. So if you're interested into entertainment news, I highly recommend it. Oh, yeah. And IndieWire has a podcast, which I didn't know about until Bill sent me the link. So that one I highly recommend as well. Ann Thompson and Eric Kahn of IndieWire and Thompson on Hollywood. And it's weekly, and they talk for about 40 minutes, and it's a really good show as well.
Yeah, I have so many podcasts now. Things like I used to listen to every single Stuff You Missed in History class.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I wasn't all that interested, I have so many now, I have to literally be interested. Same with Caustic Soda, Vancouver-based sort of gross science. I love Caustic Soda, but I like it when they're talking about gross things. And lately they've been doing, they're in the seventh season or something like that. Like they're almost like a weekly podcast. That's a lot of content producing.
That is a lot of content.
And, you know, it sort of phlegm came up. Oh yeah, you knew I was listening to phlegm because it was going to be disgusting. But then they did like two on running, and I'm like, fuck it, and just delete those ones. Yeah,
not interested.
Yeah, I've become much more critical.
Selective.
Yeah, selective is the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Books? Anyone?
Oh, I finished one book over Christmas. Woohoo!
Good for you.
The Waters Rising by Shuri S. Tepper. She's one of my go-to authors. I pretty much read anything that she writes. This book wasn't as enjoyable as some of her other ones, but it was still fun.
Nothing?
I just want to cry.
I have two. Welcome to Night Vale, a podcast.
You actually read it?
Yeah. They released their first novel.
Oh, nice.
Like
I did not know that.
They're spreading out. Like they're apparently starting up a new podcast. It'll be like a 10-part series called Alice Isn't Dead, about a woman who basically believes her wife isn't dead and is a long-haul trucker and basically trying to find her wife. So kind of interesting. But yeah, they released a novel. They're writing a second one. It's gone over so well. It's like New York Times bestseller. A podcast has written a novel, and it's New York Times bestseller. So it's pretty much as weird as the podcast is. So very random, very strange. I haven't quite finished it yet.
I went to the Night Vale room, our
on Halloween
presentation at the Emerald City Comic Con like 2 years ago. I guess it'd be 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And the interest in the room absolutely blew me away. Like for a podcast, like people were into it every bit as much as any of the other culture stuff.
There. I knew it was something big when I saw people dressed up as characters from Night Vale.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand what your costume is. Oh, it's Welcome to Night Vale or whatever it's called. And I'm like, oh, yeah, a podcast. Yeah, That's interesting.
I was in the room and I saw people dressed up. I didn't recognize who they were. And they go up to the microphone and like they were getting nods from the panel. It's like, oh, great, whatever. It's like, oh.
You know how big Serial is? Night Vale is as big, but it's basically science fiction.
That's like insane. Yeah. That's insane.
The numbers for them are off the charts. They've been touring around the world with live shows.
Yeah.
Sellout crowds continuously.
They did that at Comic-Con 1 year. That was the...
Well, and they did one in town. They were here for...
On Halloween.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We got the Halloween show.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I had friends who went to that. Yeah.
It was so cute. The one at Emerald City, they had Molly Quinn from Castle.
Oh, yeah.
She did the numbers for the radio station, the numbers woman.
Oh, yeah.
They had a whole plot from there. And she is almost exactly her character on Castle.
Oh, really?
She's
great.
She was so cute. Just
love her.
So cute.
The other book I finished, Robin Hobb, one of my favorite fantasy authors. She's come back with a new, hopefully, trilogy. The last one was a quadrilogy, and it fucked me over so bad.
And those are huge books, too.
Yeah, they're big. I really like her character. She's created this world kind of thing of the six duchies, and she's come back, first book in a new trilogy, Fool's Assassin. she had basically ended the story of Chivalry and the Fool and all that in another trilogy, and it was sort of like it was done. But she's brought it back.
So it wasn't really done.
No, no. I wouldn't have been able to guess how she got it together kind of thing. And I devoured that book. In one sitting, I read the entire thing.
You loaned me her books. And yeah, it was like I had to be careful when I started it because they were huge books. And they were so engaging, like it's literally...
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
I need the number system equivalent to, like, I can't put this book down. I have to pee so bad I'm going to wet myself. I can't put this book down.
Yeah.
She was that.
Yeah, wow. So the first two books are out. I got, like, a gift card over Christmas, so I bought Night Vale and the paperback version of the first book. Next one, I think, is coming out in the paperback shortly. I can't afford $35 Robin Hobb book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
Great book.
Never read anything of hers. I maybe should fix that.
Yeah.
I need to read more this year. That was one of... That is like people do fitness goals for New Year. My goal was read more books.
That was why I deliberately picked up a book over Christmas. Just, no,
I should have. Instead, I've watched TVs and movies.
And I still have Terry
Mine
Pratchett's.
Is discover every weird object in BC.
Well, that's a lifetime endeavor.
No shit, right? Yeah. Well, that was a lot, eh?
Yeah.
Be sure to come on BibleThree.com for links to all of the stuff that we talked about. We'll put in some show notes of all the stuff. So if something sounded interesting, it will be easy for you to find. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with the March preview. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.